I asked Brother Bill to send that dog.
That's not his testimony.
That's mine.
I hope after 50 years it can be his.
This is his first year as a full-time worker for the Lord in a church. I'm working on my 52nd year.
And I hope when he has 50, that can be his testimony. I said to the First Baptist Church in Bryant here a few weeks ago that one of the saddest sights in the world is a grumpy, sour, old preacher. And I prayed a lot of times in these years, Lord, keep me sweet. Don't let me get sour. I mean it. And I hope you start praying it if you haven't already. I don't want to be a sour old preacher. The Lord's sweet. He's been sweet and wonderful to me. And I want to manifest that to the world. You'll let me reminisce just a little. In the living room of a house over at 2410 Boulevard, the first plans for this meeting were discussed. That was at that time the parsonage for Unity Baptist Church, where I was then pastor. I know it has been discussed, you've heard some about it, but there are people here. How many here for the first time? You've never attended one of these meetings before. All right, look around, fellas, there's quite a few. How many of you have made every one of them? Well, there are a few. Is that O.H. Griffiths back there? Thank the Lord. It's good to see you. I'm sure you've heard some of it discussed. G.D. Walters was pastor of County Avenue Church, and I was there maybe keeping Unity from having one. Unity Church had asked Conrad Glover to come and preach for a revival meeting. And we were discussing some of the things in our associated work. We'd just come through some dark days. We felt like needed something to pull us together, draw us together, and encourage one another. And we decided there that this kind of a meeting could do that. At least that was what we wanted it to do. And it was decided it was to be a fellowship type meeting. And we toss that word around so loosely, don't we? You know, the best definition I know for fellowship, it's two fellows in the same boat. Two fellows in the same ship, at least two. And brother, you have to be going in the right, in the same direction. There's some close communion. Otherwise, somebody's going to fall overboard. And that's what this meeting was to be, and it proved to be from the very start. I know there have been times when those who were in the planning stages, and I helped them to plan a number of these meetings, have felt the need for diverting to something else. And I do not question their judgment. I'm glad this year that it was brought back more or less into the original scheme of things. And I hope that we have a wonderful time in the Lord together. Brother Brown, I felt like doing a little bit of what somebody did to me one time. They came out the door after I'd preached a sermon to a bunch of church members, and one kind of pulled up his shirt and said, "Look down in there." I said, "Well, what's the matter?" He said, "I want you to see if there's any hide left." He kind of got down to where we live, didn't he? Thank you, Brother Brown. One verse of scripture to begin with, quite a number later on. The book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 26. The Apostle Paul, talking to some people who belonged to some churches over in that little country of Galatia, said, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Just a few words, but oh, what a meaning. "For ye are all the children of God, sons of God, by faith in Christ Jesus." If you've been saved by the grace of God, if you came to trust to Him as your personal Savior, you're God's child. And if we all have, and that's very possible, I would say here, in this type of a meeting today, we're all brothers, sisters in the Lord. Sure, that's what Paul's saying. You're all the children of God. What does he mean? He means we're all part of the same family. We have the same parent spiritually. We belong to Him. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. It's good to stop and think about it like that sometimes. But I'm a child of the Heavenly Father. I had a physical father, been gone a good many years. We had a lot of good times together. I didn't look on him so much as the judge and as the King, I looked on him as my father. We didn't have a lot of time together. We were poor folks. He had to work hard, long hours. But there were numbers of times in the afternoon when my older brother and I would get out on the front porch look down the street about the time we knew he'd be coming home. When he turned the corner, he'd be walking. We didn't own a car. When he turned that corner, we'd have a foot race. We'd run to see who got there first. My brother was short and chubby. I was long and lanky. I could outrun him. But it really didn't make any difference. When we got there, one got on one side and the other on the other. And we reached up and got a hand. And we walked back to the house together. Fellowship. Children of the same Father. Yes, we belong to that family. There is a family of God. Oh, of course, you'll let me divert just another moment. Now, my brother and I, we had difficulties sometimes. We fussed a little. Never did have a fight with him. I guess some brothers have. I was afraid what he'd do to me, really. But we knew we were brothers, and we loved one another, and we loved our Father. We belonged to the same family. Over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, and verse 14 and 15, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And I think that family includes me and includes you. Some of them, he said, were already in heaven, but some of them still on the earth. And that same situation still exists today. There is that relationship, that special relationship between the Father and between the children. Over in the first book of John, chapter 3, he says there in verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father," and that's the love that Brother Brown was speaking about, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Now. I heard a lady say one night in a service, she came to the altar at the close of a service during the invitation, tears streaming down her face, and she told the pastor who was there in charge of that service, "Oh, if I could just know I'm one of them. Oh, if I could just know that I'm a child of God." Listen, folks, I know. And she could know. In fact, that statement led me to believe that she wasn't. I was told later on that she did become one of God's children. I'm glad we can know. We don't have to guess about it. A lot of the Protestant religions today are saying, "You aren't saved. You aren't saved. You just put in a saved condition." Now, if you can make sense out of that, you just put in a saved condition, and out yonder at the judgment, then we're going to know whether or not really we are. Oh, no, my friend. I know. I know I'm God's child. How did I get here? Well, not by physical birth. John chapter 1 talks about the thing. Verse 11, he says he came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. That's the way I became God's child. Born of God. Third chapter of that same book talks about it there when Jesus talking to Nicodemus. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, skip on down to it. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I had a fleshly birth, and I've had another birth. I've had a spiritual birth. I belong to God's family because I have been born into it. Well, what are the blessings of such? I've had people tell me, listen, preacher, I'd like to be saved, but, you know, I'd have to give up too much. You want me to give you a good illustration? How much did the prodigal have to give up to go back home? His rags, his hunger, his wretchedness. Why, it's like giving up a pocket full or a handful of sand for a whole bushel basket full of diamonds. The blessings of being God's child, of course, first off, means that terrible burden of sin is laid aside. You know, put aside. Wonderful. I know you're acquainted with these scriptures, but Paul occasionally said he wanted to remind folks of things. We need our memories jogged. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of the grace of God. How rich is God in mercy? Well, I can't describe it. I can just tell you all I need. All I need. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So, as a child of God, these sins are laid aside. Brother Brown talked about the Lord didn't impute sin any longer. Doesn't charge you. Not as far as our soul is concerned. He doesn't. Now, we'll answer for what we do, you know, off out here after we've been saved in another way. When I was thinking about this, not only are sins forgiven, but eternal life is given. And sometimes I think we talk about that so much that it's lost its force in our own thinking. Jesus said to his disciples, recorded by John in John chapter 10 and verse 28, he said, I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. And you know, you can emphasize one or the other word here and make it worth maybe a little bit more. Eternal life. What is eternal life? God's life. Only God has eternal life, and they to whom the Lord has given it. Eternal life. It's God's life. God is that individual who said to Moses, I am. I am. What does he mean? I exist. I always have existed. I always will exist. I am the eternal existing one. And so when Jesus said to these disciples, I give unto you eternal life, he's just saying, I give you some of myself. I give you my life. It comes in. It's here. I have it. And of course, that somewhat makes me responsible as to how I'm going to treat that life that now is here. But that's really another thought. I'm glad I don't have to think about whether or not I'm going to live. Because I'm not fixing to die. Two weeks ago today, I sat in a house over at Sheridan, Arkansas, with Gundy Glover. Spent a good bit of time with him. This service was mentioned. He so wanted to be here. And if you, of course, do not know his condition, he seldom ever gets out. He's in excruciating pain much of the time. I've known him since I was a small lad. He was my first pastor. We've talked about things of life. I've heard him say, and I say, because Jesus said it first, of course, and said it to Mary, we're not going to die. If you believe in the Lord, you believe in life. You don't believe in death. I'm not going to die. Now, this old body is going to be laid aside somewhere for a while. But I'm not going to die. I'm just going to put a wore-out body aside. I'm having to prop it up with more things all the while. Years ago, I had to put on these things to help it. I had to stuff a lot of stuff in my mouth later on, you know, to kind of help masticate food. I have to do other things all along to get by. Sometimes my wife kind of thinks she has to hold my arm to keep me from falling. And I know that it's getting to where it looks rather putrefied. One person asked me one time how I got as ugly as I am in such a short time. That was a long time ago. I said, no secret. No secret at all. I come here with a lot of it. Had a head start. I'm going to lay this body aside one of these days, but I'm going to continue to live because I have the life of God. And God cannot die. God cannot die. Well, one of the other things that is such a blessing, I have an inheritance. I have an inheritance. My parents never owned much of this world's goods. But they left me an inheritance. Not money, something worth much more than money could ever be worth. I'm grateful that God, who called me into the ministry, has helped me to use a little of the brain work that I have to have a house to live in today with no mortgage on it, and a vehicle to drive that's no monthly payment on. When you get as old as I am, you don't need payments like that. If you do have, you're in sad shape.
Continued on the other side. Invert tape, please.